Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Brother James. It was really wonderful. Thank you, sister. We appreciated the item. I know Brother Abraham speaks about the man eating the watermelon, and then the other guy says, "How was the watermelon?" He says, "It's good, but there's more." So we look forward to the second half, sister. Amen. Thank you, Brother James, for the song leading as well. Good to see Cadman again. And God bless saints, everybody's
Yeah, I
out
hope
this
this
evening.
is fine, yeah.
Also, we want to greet
I
those.
won't call you until I go on my break.
Oh,
Thank you.
let me just see who that is. Just one second here. I didn't mute all the participants here. Where's our Zoom? But I say, I want to greet the saints that are out there on YouTube as well, because many times I hear from people in different places sending messages and stuff. So greetings to them as well. It's really nice to be joining with people from here and there. Okay, I think that should be okay. Let's push on. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. I don't really know why this was quickened to me the other day, just the Beatitudes once again. Some years back, I went to look back, I think it's about 13, 14 years back, we did a study on the Beatitudes. I kept the same title, The Blessed Ones, because Jesus is speaking about the blessed ones. Matthew 5, let's read from verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. So the first thing you'll find is Jesus is speaking the Beatitudes to his disciples. He's not aiming this to sinners, he's aiming it to disciples. And he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Bless it to our souls, we pray. Bless your people, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's be seated, saints. God bless you this evening. Okay, so Jesus comes, and this is the very first sermon that he preaches. You find Matthew chapter 4, he goes out in the wilderness, he comes out in the power of the Spirit, and then Jesus gathers all of his disciples, and a great multitude are gathered, and he sits down and he teaches them, and he teaches them the Beatitudes. And I know that everything that Jesus ever preached, I think every time you heard Jesus, you'll say that was the greatest sermon that was ever preached. Because he was the Word made flesh. And obviously, he's preaching about different things. And whatever topic he took, it was the greatest sermon ever preached on that topic. None of us could ever compare because he was purely and perfectly the Word. So everything he preached was perfectly in season, perfectly anointed, perfectly in line with the will of his Father. So, but this is a profound sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, and you could spend the rest of your life on it. You literally could. But you don't want to spend that much time on it. You want to just have a look at what is the Sermon on the Mount. I gave it a subtopic down there. I said the Beatitudes, the Holy Ghost, and revival. You're going to find these Beatitudes sometimes because we've heard them so much since we're young. We learned them when we were in Sunday school, that we sometimes maybe just lose the effect, or maybe don't fully understand what was Jesus meaning. What was he saying? Why did he say these things at this time? Now, why did he come and sit and say all of these, blessed are you for this and blessed are you for that? What was going on? Well, the first thing that we'll see, the purpose of the Beatitudes is that these are the laws. These are the characteristics of the kingdom. So John the Baptist has come. He's preached to the people. He said, repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And everyone was looking forward to the kingdom of the Messiah. Everybody was looking forward to this great something that was going to break forth from heavenly places. God was going to come and visit the people. And people had so many different ideas about the kingdom and about the Messiah and so forth. And when John came on the scene, anointed the way that he was with the spirit of Elijah, and he preached, he shook the region. People came from all over. People came from Jerusalem. Who are you? I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. But he was the herald of the kingdom. He was the one who came to proclaim, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, make yourself ready. So the people were under great expectation. And then came the king of the kingdom. And Jesus came now. And the very first thing he did, you find this in anything. You look in a government, as soon as a new president's elected in America, they come and they present the agenda. They present their manifesto. That's the first thing which they do. They're going to enumerate now what the administration stands for, what they represent, what they're going to do, what are their priorities, what are their objectives. And Jesus is doing exactly the same thing. The moment Jesus comes on the scene, he sets the priorities or the agenda of his kingdom. And he shows straight away what his kingdom is going to produce. And that's what we see in the Beatitudes, the kingdom of heaven. When it comes into the life of a person, these are the characteristics that it produces. And that's why he starts to speak about things right at the beginning. He's speaking of the laws, the governing principles of his kingdom. That anybody who's born of the kingdom of heaven will start automatically, through the working of the Holy Ghost, projecting and showing forth these characteristics. Yeah, and when Jesus came forth, you know, his kingdom came, and he wanted to express what his kingdom really was coming for, who he was, what he had come for. He straight away comes and he labors on this, and he shows people these characteristics of his kingdom. It's an interesting thing. Now, when he comes, though, declaring that what his kingdom is all about, it was radically different than what religion was telling the people. Now, so many of the people were saying when the king comes, he's going to be political. He's going to raise up a rebellion, and all the zealots, they like that. And all of those, you know, the revolutionaries kind of people, they thought he's coming as a political deliverer. He's going to come and deliver us from the Romans. They were looking at the second coming and they were confusing it with the first coming. And then the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they had all their opinions and ideas and, you know, their idea of righteousness, their idea of who the king was and what he was going to do. And when Jesus came on the scene, he came straight away to show that none of these people are operating at the kingdom frequency. None of these people understand the kingdom. None of these people truly represent what the kingdom of heaven is and what the purpose of the kingdom of heaven and what the kingdom of heaven is going to produce in the lives of people. And the people were confused. That's why Jesus straight away had to come and set the agenda to show, no, I'm not coming as a king to come and rule from Jerusalem. I'm not coming to conquer Rome and overthrow the Romans. The kingdom that I've come is going to be a kingdom that's going to manifest in the lives of the people. And the manifestation it's going to bring forth, and these are the manifestations you're going to find. As this kingdom starts to work and to move, and people start to yield and start to express the real characteristics of what the kingdom of heaven is, each of these characteristics in turn is going to be displayed inside of their lives. So Jesus is showing us the characteristics of the citizens of the kingdom, what the kingdom is going to produce. This is when the kingdom comes, the potential in the life of every citizen in the kingdom is to produce this kind of a life. You know, so he came and he really, really made it clear. He was showing this is totally spiritual what I'm coming to do. Yeah, this is not an outward thing. You know, all the outward things are secondary. But the Pharisees and the Sadducees were focusing so much on the outward. You had to dress like this. You had to fast so many times a week, pray so many times a day. And when Jesus came, it was just really, really revolutionary. Because he was coming to show that the power of transformation that was coming in his kingdom was going to transform people so they were able to live according to these things. But the first thing Jesus had to do, he had to show the high standard. He had to come and show, look, this is the characteristics of the kingdom, these beatitudes. And then every single person could rate themselves. And what was he doing? He was showing people that you cannot do this inside of yourself. That all of man's religion and all of man's efforts and all of the things you're trying to do, keeping all these laws and commandments, they're not bringing forth any reflection of the kingdom of heaven inside of you. I'm going to have to come as the king and I'm going to have to open the way. But the first thing that he did, Jesus, he came as the illustrated edition to show us the kingdom in action itself. Jesus came to live these kingdom characteristics to us. And that awoke the deep inside of the genuine. And when people started to see blessed are the meek in the life of Jesus, they started to see what meekness really was. People started to see the kind of life, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And when they started to see these characteristics lived out in the life of Jesus, and the results that living that kind of a life produced, no, the authority that he had and the favor that he had from heaven and so forth, people started to awaken out to what the kingdom really was. And they started to hunger and thirst after this righteousness. They said, but wow, if only we could just be like him. And it's similar to our age. You think of the kingdom frequency. Think of all the ideas people have of the rapture now. This was the first coming. People had no understanding what the first coming was going to be. They didn't know what to expect when the Messiah would come. You have a look in the Christian world now of even the rapture, no, the second coming of the Lord. People don't really know what to expect. Some people expecting, you know, aeroplanes to fall out the sky and expecting the Pope to go up in the rapture and expecting all of these kind of things. And that's how the Lord always has to send something, like John when he came first. In our age, God has sent the spirit of Elijah to tune people into the frequency of the kingdom. So we know what the kingdom is. So we know what to expect. So we know what is available to us. So we know what the kingdom, when it's released in each age, is to produce in the lives of the people. Then at least we can know, how am I doing as a citizen of the kingdom? Now, am I in the kingdom? Because you're not using man's measure stick, but God is showing you the divine measure stick of what the kingdom produces in the lives of people. And that's really, really what we need. Now, these are the characteristics of anybody. If Jesus is really Lord of your life and you allow the Lord to work inside of your life, like I say, with the power of transformation, you are going to find that these characteristics will automatically start working inside of your life. And they're progressive, as we'll see as we get into them. But if somebody comes to you, you know, and nobody desires these characteristics inside of their life, you can question that person's salvation, whether they ever really met the Lord. Because anybody who's ever really met Christ and seen his kingdom expressed in the life that he lived will want to be like Christ. And you cannot meet him and not hunger and thirst to be like him. You want to gaze as in a glass, as we said the other day, as in a mirror, into his glory. And when you look at the life of Jesus and the characteristics, you'll see this is exactly who he was. Yeah. Where I got this thought from was from the message Christ is revealed in his own word. The prophet says, notice, I'm going to speak on the subject of the Bible, Christ revealed in his own word. He said, where I drew this conclusion was in my room. Some dear person, maybe sitting here, I got a picture hanging in my study up there of Hoffman's head of Christ written in the Beatitudes. Right where you'd come to a place where you needed the head to be darker, they pressed harder on the typewriter. So they used the text and they make certain letters darker and certain, and they made Hoffman's head of Christ. And the prophet says, they pressed a little bit harder. There he is sitting in his word, Christ in the Beatitudes. And that's where I got the thought from. And then I said, wow, Christ revealed in the Beatitudes. Let's go and look at his Beatitudes. You know, so that's where it is. So Christ is revealed in this. This is the very character of Christ. This is the character of the kingdom of heaven. And that's what we need, friends. We need an absolute. We need a real measure stick. I don't want to measure my spiritual experience or my spiritual growth against man's standard, against the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because they differ with one another. You know, we need something that is sure and that is steadfast. So we know, am I really a Christian? Is the kingdom of heaven really working inside of my life? And Jesus came and showed the characteristics of the kingdom very, very clearly in these Beatitudes. Now, just like with the statue of a perfect man, every person born in the kingdom of God, if you are born of the Spirit of God, here's the Beatitudes, you climbing up that Jacob's ladder. We'll see, you start off, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now that's a work of the Holy Ghost, to get you to mourn, to get you to be grieved, to get you to repent. That's the very first thing that you need. Before the kingdom of God can come into you, you need to realize that you need the kingdom of God. Now, if you're self-satisfied inside of your life, you're never coming into the kingdom of God. But when you get to the stage that you look at your life like Jesus said, he who hates his life and is willing to lose it, you'll now another life can come inside of you. He has all of these different steps going. It's building up progressively, just like the statue of a perfect man in another way. You know, it's building up to the stature. And every single person is born of the Spirit of God. If you're in the kingdom of God, you don't manufacture the stature of a perfect man inside of your life. It's God himself who works these things into your character. Like we've said, the great tutor, the Holy Ghost at the top, love. His power of transformation, his influence inside of your life, he takes you through circumstances and situations to develop these things inside of your life. To have true spiritual knowledge, it's not worldly knowledge. It's the knowledge that God is faithful to his word, the knowledge of how to apply his word inside of your life. The only way you get to know these kind of things is practically when he puts you in situations. And the same with these Beatitudes. As you progress inside of your walk with the Lord, you start off mourning. Blessed are they that mourn, they shall be comforted. What is the next one? Have a look in your Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit. So you're never going to accept anything further from the kingdom of heaven until you accept you're poor in spirit. Now, when you think yourself righteous like the Pharisees were, they weren't poor in spirit. They didn't see themselves as poor in spirit. They weren't mourning over their spiritual condition. Therefore, they could never go any further with God. The third one, blessed are the meek. Now, it's building up now. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's not a natural characteristic in the life of a person. For you to hunger and thirst after righteousness, that's the work of the Holy Ghost inside of your life. You know, he has to create that hunger and thirst inside of you. These are not natural attributes, just as much as the stature of a perfect man. Those are not attributes in the life of a person. You know, every single person, why I said potentials there, born of the Spirit of the God, has the potentials of every single one of these beatitude characteristics in their life. You have the potential to be a peacemaker if you want to be a peacemaker. Because the Holy Ghost inside of a person is a peacemaker. But like the prophet said to Billy Paul, he said, Billy Paul, if you will allow the Holy Ghost that is in you to express himself, you won't have these problems. And you'll see that as you get into it, every single one of us, we have the potential to manifest these characteristics of the kingdom. But it doesn't mean they're going to manifest just automatically inside of your life. You can close the door of free will. You can give in to your old nature, you know, to the flesh man, and you can be a troublemaker in church. You find people are troublemakers. Yet the potential is in you. The kingdom is in you. And if you allow the Holy Ghost to express himself, you become a peacemaker. And that's what Jesus is showing. These are the characteristics of the kingdom. You can be proud. You can be arrogant. You can be rude. You can be aggressive. But the Bible says, Jesus says, the kingdom in you, it'll produce a meekness if you're allowed to produce meekness. Now, meekness, as we'll see, is not weakness. Jesus was meek. Moses was the meekest man in his age. Meekness and weakness are not the same thing. Meekness, the ability to submit yourself to the headship of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, Jesus showed us perfectly what a meek man was. But look at the power and authority that he had inside. No one pushed Jesus around. You know, he showed us what meekness was. And anybody born of the Spirit, anybody born of the kingdom of heaven, if you've repented and the kingdom of heaven has come inside of you, you have the potential to express every single one of these characteristics inside of your life. Because this is the kingdom of heaven. I mean, and the kingdom of heaven is dwelling inside of you. We all have this potential. Now, there's certain general lessons we can learn from the Beatitudes. Now, firstly, this shows us what the kingdom will express in everyone who allows it expression. That's the key. I mean, brother says, what do you have to do? He says, that little seed, when you sow it in the ground, it has to keep drinking in and pushing out. Drinking in and pushing out. And then comes the blade. Let it drink in and push out. Then comes the stalk. Drink in and push out. Then comes the leaves. Drink in and push out. Then it starts coming to the fruit. The same as you and I. If you'll feed the experience that is inside of you, like he says, when your person comes to Christ, you receive the Holy Ghost like a little button. The kingdom of God comes in you in a measure. And you feed that experience. It's going to take you from just justification. Let it sanctify you. Let it press out and sanctify your life. Deliver you from your dirty habits, your dirty thoughts, your dirty words that you say. You allow the Holy Ghost to express itself, drinking in, taking in the word, waiting upon the Lord in prayer, fellowshipping with these people. And you find it presses out, and then it presses out to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, manifestation of the Spirit inside of your life, fruits of the Spirit inside of your life. It's allowing him to express himself. And this isn't for a special class of people. That's what people sometimes look at. So maybe this is for a special class of people. The Beatitudes show this is for every single citizen of the kingdom of God. This is for every person who's born of the kingdom of heaven. You know, it's not for just a certain class of people. Any person that has the power of transformation working inside of their life, and you desire to give the Spirit of God inside of your life expression, he'll express himself in these kind of ways. Now, you don't have to forgive people. You can hold a grudge. You can hold bitterness against a person for years, and it quenches the work of the Spirit inside of your life. Until you're willing to allow the Holy Ghost to express itself. You know, and you're going to be wrestling and you're going to be not going to be at peace. Like I say, you can be a troublemaker. You know, you can be cause trouble between believers, trouble in your family and so forth, if you want to be. Because this natural man is a troublemaker by birth. But when the day comes, you say, I want to be more like Christ. I want to express the Christ that's inside of my soul. And you give him the preeminence. Give him opportunity to express himself. He's going to give you opportunity to allow the expression, but you have to open the door. When he's standing and knocking at the door saying, let me express myself in this situation. I'm an ever-present help in a time of trouble. I can change the situation. I can sort out this relationship. You and I have to submit and yield. And that's the key to the stature of a perfect man. That's the key also to the Beatitudes, is you've got to yield yourself and allow the kingdom to be expressed in and through you and through me. And I'm sure every person who's tasted of the kingdom of God, we all desire a deeper expression of the kingdom of God inside of our lives. But it starts off in very practical things. It doesn't start off out there that you're going to China as a missionary. It starts off at home when you and your brother are not agreeing, and then you pray and the Lord speaks to you and says, I'm going to be a peacemaker.
Amen.
Blessed are the peacemakers. You know, it's in those real life situations when you give the kingdom power to express itself. That's when you start to see now the kingdom of heaven expressed inside of your life. I'm sure every one of us desire that. And these things are worked inside of our life just by the grace of God. He works these things inside of our lives. Now, Jesus is not showing us here, how can I be saved? It's not an evangelistic sermon that he's preaching. He's showing us who the people are that have been saved.
Yes.
That's the difference. He's showing you the characteristics of people that are saved. Now, he's not in any way coming and saying, you've got to have these things in your life if you want to enter my kingdom. No, he's saying, when my kingdom enters your life, these are the things that are going to come forth from your life. Can you see what he's doing right at the beginning of his ministry? He's making it very clear to the people. He's showing in his life who he is. He lives the kingdom of heaven before them. He lives this kind of a life before them. When he's the reaction to an action, when he's tested, when they spit in his face, when they beat him with rods. Blessed are you when men revile you. You know, so they reviled the prophets. Blessed are men when they persecute you. He showed us how to live the life. He left us the bloody footprints because he's the king of the kingdom. And he comes to demonstrate the kingdom first of all, and then heaven bears witness of this kind of a life. Heaven bears record of this kind of a life in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's showing us who are the people that are saved, not showing us how to be saved. And these things are progressive, like I say. It's line upon line. The Lord is building these things inside of your life. Now, you're not at first when you become a Christian, probably going to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. A lot of people aren't at first. When you're just a believer, you don't really testify to anybody. You don't tell anybody who you really are. But the more you grow and you allow the kingdom to express itself inside of your life, the more now you're going to come to those greater beatitudes up there, and you're going to start to have to display these kind of a characteristics. Yeah. At first, when you're a Christian, you might not be really pure in your heart. You might be double-minded. But the potential's in you to be pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And as you're allowing and yielding and walking with him, and you allow the kingdom to express more and more inside of your life, you find these things now you are expressed in the life of a person. That's a real progressive thing until he can really, really express himself. And any person who really expresses this kingdom life, that's why he comes at the end and says, you are the salt of the earth. There's something about that kind of life. Because when you, if you were around Jesus, you would have been thirsty if you were a genuine person. His life, the atmosphere that it was that he was in, the way he reacted, the way he handled situations, would have made you thirsty inside of your soul. When you saw the way he'd pray, when you saw the favor of heaven that was upon him, you saw the way he spoke to people that were against him. You saw the way that he desired to reconcile people that were at odds with one another. Yeah, you would get thirsty. And that's what salt is supposed to do. Salt is supposed to make people thirsty. Yeah, and that's why he said, Jesus lists all these things. He said, blessed are you, the blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the meek. And then he says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Yeah, and Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. When I'm expressed, then people are going to start hungering and thirsting after righteousness. So that's the true expression of the kingdom. Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry, bro. Right about the microphone here. I put it on. That's here, yeah? Okay. Is that? Okay. I'll just have to come out of that for a second then. So you can really, really see that. If I go to participants here. We can, where's our participants? There. Okay. That's fine. Yeah. Okay, sorry about that sense. Okay, so you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Yeah. And that is really surely what you and I aim to be. I remember in the message, why are people so tossed about? Abraham speaks at the end of that message of many examples. He says, a woman came to me the other day and she said, look, my husband, he's a healing evangelist. I caught him in the act of living unfaithful in his marriage with an 18-year-old girl. And he said he has been doing it for the last 2 years. Yeah, and she speaks about different things. And he speaks about all these different situations that Christians find themselves in their marriages. And then this woman says, I tore up that girl's picture. I'm going to leave him. Rama says, if it was me, I'd go and put my arms around him and say, honey, I love you. And he says, that will do it. You know, allow the kingdom to express itself. And then that Lutheran, that man with the Lutheran wife, he says, no, my wife, she's a Lutheran. And she said, I'm sure you were down there speaking in tongues last night. You know, those Pentecostals said, I tried to cast the devil out of her, but I can't get that devil to move. He said, you're going about it the right way. You've got to allow the kingdom of heaven to be expressed. Yeah. He says, when she does that, just be kind, sweet to her. Yeah? Don't fuss with her. And then he says, because when she sees that you've got something that she doesn't have, she's going to get thirsty. And is that not the greatest thing we can do to people? Is express the kingdom of heaven in our daily lives like Christ. Because the world is so full of people that jump much higher than they live. Yeah, that can talk a lot more than we manifest. It's very easy to do it. But Jesus wasn't like that. Jesus was the full expression of the kingdom of heaven. And he came and showed in a day where for someone to be humble was weak. In the Roman Empire and the Greeks and all those kind of people, for a person to show forgiveness to someone, it was weakness. A man wouldn't do something like that. Jesus bringing the kingdom of heaven in came and brought an absolute revolution. Now, this was something so foreign because man had been perverted by man's religion, man's ideas of who God was. God's made in the image of man instead of man in the image of God. That's always where the problem comes in. Man is always trying to bring God into his program. And Jesus was coming right from the beginning to say, that doesn't work. I'm going to show you the program of God and you need to fit in this program.
That's right.
And your Pharisaism and your Sadduceeisms and all those kind of things are not going to put you at the right frequency. There's nothing in all your religion that can change the frequency that's inside of you into a kingdom frequency, that when you allow that frequency to broadcast itself, it produces the kingdom of heaven. It's a reflection of what the kingdom of heaven really is. And the genuine people at that time started to hunger and thirst when they saw that. The elect, the deep inside of the elect was stirred up by the life that Jesus lived, by the way he handled things compared to the Pharisees. Yes, by his teaching as well. He taught as one having authority. Yes, by the vindication of his miracles and his works. But to most people, it was that life. And that is always the greatest evangelism that a person can manifest inside of their life, is living a life which that other person can't live. And you can't do it yourself. It's got to be him living his life through you. It's got to be a manifestation of the kingdom of heaven. And every single believer, all of us here today, anyone who's received Christ, been baptized in his name, the Holy Ghost is working inside of your life, to whatever measure that it is, every one of us have the capacity to manifest the kingdom of heaven before people. And that makes us the salt of the earth and the light of the earth. And that's the most important thing. That's what draws people. That's what makes people hunger and thirst. That's what makes people compare themselves. Now, they may not agree with the message. We've had it many, many times in life, even back home so many times, that people wouldn't believe because they heard bad things about the message, but then they saw the life of the believers. They saw the Beatitudes in action. They saw the genuine, the real something. And that was the real attraction. And that's got to be the real attraction. Because brother, when he preaches on the statue of a perfect man, he says the greatest stumbling block to the unbeliever is someone who's anointed, somebody even has gifts and all that, but doesn't have those characteristics inside of their lives. He says it's such a stumbling block to the unbeliever. They see you jumping up and down, kicking over the chairs on Sunday. He said that same mouth that speaks in tongues on Sunday, like he says, like pouring peas on a dry cowhide, is the same mouth on Monday that's gossiping against your neighbor or gossiping against another brother or sister. He says that is the greatest hindrance to the gospel.
That's right.
No, because the Lord is trying to persuade somebody by the supernatural. And then you and I, we disqualify, nullify, pour water on the very thing the Holy Ghost has started in the life of a person by our attitude towards other people. That's why I really saw how Jesus, he knew what to do. He knew where to start. He started with the Beatitudes. Now, he really, really knew. I really need to explain to people before I go out and demonstrate it to them. But people need to understand what the kingdom of heaven is and what the kingdom of heaven produces in the lives of people, so that people are not trusting in their false measures and false balances. And look, I pay tithes 3 times a week and I fast and all this like the Pharisee said, yet he had no kingdom frequency operating inside of his life because he's looking down on his brother. Thank you, Lord, I'm not like this man, this sinner over here. Yet Jesus would go down and wash the feet of those people. Jesus would go down right in the midst of the Pharisees and the tax collectors and show the kingdom frequency. Live that kind of life. Show meekness. Show mercy. Because blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy. That's a characteristic of the kingdom. Jesus would go right down in the midst of those people and demonstrate the kingdom of heaven. And that's the greatest thing that would convict people when they're living lives from the kingdom of hell, when they're living lives filled with darkness, and now comes a manifestation of light in their midst. Not light so-called like the Pharisees and Sadducees just coming to condemn them, but Jesus coming down among them and wanted to reach out where they were. Wanted to say, okay, let me help you. Let's go from where you are and let's start walking up to where you're supposed to be. There was a revolution. And that's why the religions of the day, they hated him, because he was the real thing. Yeah, I remember watching a film years back. I can't remember what it was called. I'll probably remember the title. My brother-in-law had the film once when I was at his house. And it was about this so-called healing evangelist, and he'd go around in his tent and he had a little microphone in his ear and he'd get people out in the audience, and he had all his workers would go out and find out what was wrong with people, and then people would be broadcasting in his ear. You can see he was what they were trying to do, and this guy was a fake. Yeah, and he'd come and stand in front of the people and say, this lady over here, yeah, and tell her, you know, about the problems that she had. And then one day there was the real thing. There came a young man and then there was crippled, and he sat in the back. And when this guy, although he was a fake, but he started preaching about Jesus and healing, but Jesus can heal you, hallelujah, jumping up and down. That young man had faith. And the young man kept walking up and he dropped his crutches. And that was the greatest fear that fake guy had, was to meet the genuine article. When the boy came to the evangelist after to thank him, said, don't thank me, son. He says, you're the real thing. You don't need people like me inside of your life. But the manifestation of something that is real will do far more to create error than all the words that we say. Now, the best way to correct someone in the wrong is show them the right way. If someone has a rotten attitude, show them the right attitude. If somebody's got a bad attitude against you, keep a good attitude against them. How do you overcome evil? You overcome evil by good. That's the only instrument we can use to overcome evil. But do not be overcome by evil. Because the problem with this whole program is the kingdom of heaven is dwelling in a tabernacle of flesh, which you can easily feed the flesh. The black horse, you can feed it, and it can start taking control once again. And then you hold this against people, and you lose your temper, and all of these kind of things. And we nullify so much of the good work the Lord has been using us to do in the lives of people. That's when we need to be meek again and be humble and go back to people and say, I'm sorry, me, I messed up. That wasn't a reflection of Christ. That was Simon, that wasn't Peter, like we showed the other week, you know. Or maybe that was Simon Peter, but that wasn't really Peter. That wasn't the new name that I'm supposed to manifest, the name that glorifies the kingdom of heaven, that expresses the kingdom of heaven upon earth. Yeah, so when Jesus came, if you bring it to the setting, you know, at the time when he came, he was trying to break, you know, people obviously had all of these questions. Okay, am I in the kingdom? Yeah. Am I going to be in this kingdom of heaven? When the kingdom of the Messiah comes, do I meet the qualifications? Jesus knew that, and everyone had their own standards and own ideas of, you know, yes, you're a Pharisee. You know, because you come along to our synagogue, you're already in the kingdom of the Messiah. Don't worry about it. You know, we have that even in the message now. People just say, it's okay, just sit in a message church, just believe the message. And I was so surprised to hear about it. Somebody was just saying it to me the other day. I won't say where, I won't say how, because you can incriminate yourself on the internet if you're not careful. But somebody came to a very close friend of mine who was speaking about the power of prayer and told them, said, brother, that was so good. Said, when we were in our previous denomination, we used to have such powerful prayer meetings, but when we got on the message, people told us, you don't need to pray like that anymore. Hey, wow. And I said, yeah, since when did Acts chapter 2 ever stop being the standard in the lives of the believers? Since when did the book of Acts stop being the measure stick that God set, the perfect example that he set, like the prophet said? You see, but you got all these other man's systems and man's ideas. And Jesus had to come right at the beginning of his ministry to destroy all of those false images. And so, look, let me tell you about the kingdom of heaven. And I'm going to show you, if you want to know if you're in the kingdom of heaven, this is what's got to be start to be manifesting inside of your life. If you don't manifest these things in your life, if the kingdom of heaven is not being expressed in these kind of things inside of your life, then you need to question whether you're in the kingdom of heaven. And it can't be through your own ability. Like the prophet says, you can't manufacture that stature of a perfect man. He says, and you try to have patience yourself, you'll run out of human patience. It's got to be a supernatural something. It's got to be something that's beyond your own ability. It's got to be Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's got to be something superhuman. Yeah, it's got to be something where something kicks in when you've come to the end of your own strength. You've come to the end of your own ability. You don't have temperance enough to overcome that. But something kicks in. He says it. He says when he was young and he used to be, he said many days, the prophet says, I drank the meal, had ate my meals out of a straw because people had punched his mouth in because he had such a bad temper before he came to the Lord. He says, and I always wondered about that until one day when I gave my heart to the Lord, came into the kingdom of heaven, went down there for the public services company. I had to go and disconnect a lady's electricity. He says, when I got to the door and told that lady, sorry, lady, you haven't paid your bill. I need to disconnect your electricity. He said, that lady, she poured out filth from her mouth and she insulted my mother. You can imagine what she said. He said, I always felt to strike a lady is not gentlemanly, but yay, what she said about my mother. He says, and then instead of what I would have done before, he says, something came before and says, lady, you shouldn't say that, but I'll pray for you. He says, then I realized that there's a supernatural something can work inside of your life to deliver you from those things. Now, look, you get low in spirit and you feed the flesh. You're going to show that old temper again because, you know, that's the black horse. But there's a power and a potential in a believer. And that's what temperance is all about. You know, the Lord transforming something inside of your life. These are not natural things. He says, we're not blackbirds taking dove feathers and trying to glue them in to make ourselves into doves. It's not that. It's got to be something that works from the inside out. That the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God comes to you. You humble yourself, you repent, you follow him in baptism. The kingdom comes into you. Now the kingdom of heaven is going to start expressing itself. And the more you can yield and the more you have a willingness to express the kingdom. And like I said, the real situations come because people are going to step on your toes. People are going to say things to you that are mean. Just be a pastor for a while and you'll so soon find out that things people can say. Yeah, but it's good because it's a reaction to an action. Because here's an action. How are you going to react to that action? Here's people kissing in the back of the meeting. And the anointing says, say what you will. How are you going to react? Are you going to react as a man or are you going to allow the kingdom of heaven to be expressed? It's up to you to make your choice. And when you allow the kingdom to be expressed, divine favor comes down in a greater portion because that's what he's looking for you to do. And that's why man's religion gave them such a false idea of religion. And Jesus had to sit down and say, I'm going to come and tell you about the real thing now. And that's what he sends in the message of every age. He comes to show the real thing in that age. He comes to restore a measure stick for the people. So if you want to know, am I in the will of God? Am I in the program of God in my day? You know exactly the characteristics of people that are in the will of God. What your life is supposed to be manifesting if you're in the will of God. Amen. But like I said, it's progressive. You're not going to manifest everything all at once. But the more you desire to be like Jesus, the more you want to sing Brother George Martin's song, more and more of Jesus, less and less of me, the more you're willing to become a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more the kingdom can be expressed inside of your life, the more divine favor can be put upon you, the more authority can be invested inside of your life, because more and more consistently you are manifesting the kingdom of heaven, not manifesting your own will, not manifesting your own kingdom. Not running your life the way you want it to live and trying to fit God into your kingdom, but you've come to the stage long time ago through the revelation of Jesus Christ that you long gave up wanting to be yourself. Amen. I remember sending out that graphic, and I think I've showed it to you once before. One of the Puritans said it, Brooks, I think, said, ever since I met him, I didn't want to be me anymore. And that's what it is to a believer. And that's what the Beatitude shows. You want to be like that. I want to be pure in heart. Because every time I'm pure in heart, the more I can see God. I want to be a peacemaker because he is a peacemaker. When his family fell in Eden, the very nature of God brought him down to come and reconcile his family. Jesus was a peacemaker. And that's his nature. He comes to reconcile. He came to stand in the breach between a sinful man and an angry God. He came to step in the breach as a peacemaker. So inside of yourself, when you see the manifestation of Christ, say, wow, I want to be like that. And then you, somebody does something to you. Somebody speaks evil about you. Brenda says it. I quote that on Great Commission many times. When somebody's done you evil and you know they've done you evil, he says, don't say anything. Don't go and speak to somebody else because you're multiplying the problem. He says, but go take that man to prayer before God. Because your flesh is not happy. Your human mind is not happy. Your memory is kicking in. Your reasoning is kicking in. You're not going to manifest the kingdom of heaven while you're in your own human spirit. But you have the potential in you. If the Holy Ghost is in you, if you're born again, you have the ability to express the kingdom of heaven. But you're going to have to overcome yourself a little bit first many times. So you take the man to prayer before God. He says, go and stand before God, shoulder to shoulder with that person, praying the way that prayer should be made. So you're going in prayer and you're saying, Lord, I don't understand why this brother did this to me. He did me evil. I didn't do anything to this person. He says, and you speak to the Lord about it. Then let the Lord go speaking to you. And he says, then after a while, maybe the Lord will start showing you what that person's been through. He'll put you a little bit into that person's shoes. See how the devil has twisted him up. He says, and when you, the more you pray, the more you start feeling sorry for that person. He says, and when you come back down to earth, he says, you'll feel sorry for that person and you'll go and shake hands with him. He says, because no mortal can stand in the presence of God and condemn another mortal. It's impossible to be in the kingdom of heaven at the kingdom frequency and condemn another mortal. That's what John wanted to do. He wanted to call fire from heaven. That was that frequency of, you know, when the prophet speaks about the law, yeah, that Moses represents the law and Elijah represents divine justice. God was showing his justice through Elijah. And then Jesus came and there was Moses and Elijah and here was Jesus. And the voice came and said, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. This is the full expression of the kingdom of heaven. And John wanted to find precedents in the Bible. Let's call fire from heaven. Burn these Samaritans. And Jesus rebuked him and says, you don't know what manner of spirit you are. You don't know the potential that's in you. The Son of Man didn't come to destroy men's lives. He came to save them. That's what the kingdom of heaven is. The kingdom of heaven doesn't come to destroy men's lives and judge people. And the prophet got corrected by the Lord in the 1960s because he lost the feelings of the people. And he called them Rickies and Ricketters, and he called them a lot of things, atomic fodder and all the things that he said. And the Lord had to come and correct him. He said, you shouldn't say that. He says, these people, many of them are my children, in bondage just as much as Israel was in bondage until Moses came to set them free. It says, many of these people would worship me if they knew how to worship me.
Right.
But they don't know the way out of this situation. He said, it's very easy to lose the feelings of people unless you're continually going into the presence of God, unless you're allowing the kingdom become fresh and real in your experience and to express itself once again. And it's a very practical thing, and it works, saints. That quote, Great Commission, has helped me in many, many ways and many times. When you get to a stage where you've had enough with somebody, because people can push you too far sometimes, but they can never push you too far if you're in the kingdom of heaven. Because look what they did to Jesus. You and I haven't yet been crucified. They haven't spat in your face. They haven't plucked out your beard. They haven't lied about you. I've never been good. Well, I suppose some people have called me the devil before, but not many people have called me Beelzebub, that your father is a Samaritan. Think of what they said about Jesus. And then think of what they did to him, hanging him naked before the people, the shame. And then they were reviling him while he was there. And look at the expression of the kingdom of heaven. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Wow. You can't see that and want to go and condemn your brother or your sister. You can't. It means you haven't been in his presence enough. It's not having enough of an effect. You're not allowing the Holy Ghost that is in you, the kingdom of heaven, to express itself in a real way. Because the kingdom of heaven is a kingdom of reconciliation.
Right.
Now is the acceptable year of the Lord. Now is the time the anointing comes to break the yoke, to set the captives free, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of Jubilee. That's the dispensation that we're under. I think people have run too quickly into the next dispensation while they're still here on earth. I don't think we should be doing that. But when Jesus came and started preaching the kingdom like this, do you think it pleased everybody? What about the zealots who would hide their knives under their garments and would, you know, murder the Roman soldiers in secret on the streets and stuff to, you know, try to get rid of them by using political and violent means? When Jesus came and said to them, blessed are the meek. Hey, do you think those zealots there who wanted to serve God were pleased when Jesus said, blessed are the meek? What about when Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers? Hey, pray for them that despitefully use you. That was tough. They turned their back. We don't believe in this, but that was the kingdom of heaven. That was a true expression of the kingdom of heaven, but they didn't want that kind of a kingdom. But you find Simon the Zealot, one of the disciples. You'd find the elect when they saw and heard the truth of what the kingdom really was. They're willing to die out to the old ways, willing to come out from being the old wineskins with the old doctrine inside of them, the old influence. And they came into the kingdom. He became Simon Zelotes, Simon the one of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Jesus came to correct it. Let's bring it to a close. If we go and turn the Beatitudes upside down and inside out, you'll find fallen nature. Because what does the world say? Blessed are the troublemakers. You're at school. Who are the big popular guys? The troublemakers. Yeah. What about in Hollywood? Who are the big heroes? The rebellious. Who are the heroes? Go and have a look. It's not the good guys or the humble people. They're the fools in the movies. Who are the real heroes? The stubborn people, the arrogant, the proud. Look at all these musicians. They're so proud, so full of themselves. They don't know a speck about meekness. They don't know a speck about anything. They're such strangers from the kingdom of heaven. But these are the role models. These are the people whose posters are all on the billboards and all on the walls of people. They're the ones in the magazines. They're the ones earning all the big, big money. Can you see the world's idea of righteousness, of what's real and genuine? It's fallen. It's a fallen image and a fallen nature. And Jesus had to come and set that right and said, I'm going to demonstrate and show to you what the kingdom of heaven really is. Blessed are the meek. Go out there in the streets these days, among all of these guys, these gangs and all this kind of stuff, and tell them, blessed are the meek. But when they see that meekness and there's a genuine inside of themselves, they may have been influenced by men in their human reasoning and their human spirit. But if they're ordained unto life, or even if they're not, there's still something inside. When they see something genuine, something moves inside of them. Something moves and says, look, I shouldn't be living this kind of life. It's a front. I'm doing it because of the environment that I'm in. But when they see the real thing, they start to realize it. Now, the Beatitudes, they don't produce the kingdom. The kingdom produces this. This is the real, real expression of the kingdom. You don't produce these things so that you can come into the kingdom of God. It doesn't work like that. Jesus is showing us the spiritual nature of the kingdom. He was showing that man's religion is so disconnected from the kingdom of God. And that's why it's such a great thing to be under the dispensation of grace. Yeah, and in our age, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Wow. You know exactly what the kingdom is. You know the characteristics of, you know when you haven't acted according to the kingdom that is within you. We know exactly who Christ is and the way that he acts and the way that he reacts and the way that he behaves. And it's so foreign to so much of the Christianity we see out there, isn't it? It's so, so very, very different. So Jesus, like I say, was the illustrated edition. That's why you can never read about Jesus and not want to be like him. And we said about Joseph, perfection in Joseph. Joseph was such a reflection of Christ. You can't read about Joseph and not be moved in your soul and say, well, if I could be like Joseph. The way he forgave his brothers. He was a peacemaker. Look at all those characteristics in the life of Joseph. But Jesus came to demonstrate these things to us. And then a message comes in each age to reflect Christ, reveal Christ to that age. That Christ makes himself spiritually real in the revelation of his word. Christ is revealed in his own word. And when you open your Bible and you prayerfully open your heart, you open your Bible and Christ reflects himself to you, you say, wow, I want to be like that. That's the way that it's designed. If the kingdom's in you, you have the potential to do it if you allow it to express itself. And Jesus now, this is the reason why. He had perfect favor with his father. He says, I always do that which pleases my father.
Yeah.
Because this was the life that he lived. I mean, every way that he reacted, every way he behaved, every situation that he handled pleased his father. That's how the voice came down. This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. This is the kind of life. And that's why I said, coming to a close. That's why the Beatitudes, you cannot separate these things from the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Because the Holy Ghost, it's the lamb and the dove. The moment you're not meek anymore, is the Holy Ghost going to really work inside of your life? You grieve the Holy Ghost when you're not meek. You grieve the Holy Ghost when you're not a peacemaker. You grieve the Holy Ghost when you're not pure in heart. Yeah, we do that. And that's when you've got to go back down to the beginning again. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are they that are poor in spirit. And you're like, Lord, forgive me. I haven't done this right. When it says blessed are the poor, it doesn't say poor people. It's a blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, when you realize myself in myself, I'm poor. Lord, without you, I can do nothing. It's perfect strength by perfect weakness. That's when the kingdom can come and express itself and raise you up from where you are and do things in and through you that you could never do yourself. But that's why the Beatitudes, they tie so much in with the Holy Ghost. Because this kind of kingdom life, these characteristics, these attributes inside of your life creates an atmosphere that the kingdom of heaven can be expressed in. When you're walking meekly before the Lord, when you're a peacemaker, yeah? When you are not, when people are despitefully using you, you praying for them. Wow, that creates an atmosphere. And that's why the early church, what did they say? It says they could see these men had been with Jesus. Why? Would that be the greatest thing somebody could say about you? I can see you've been with Jesus. Because you have the characteristics of Jesus. There's the same atmosphere around you that I find in Jesus in the Bible. There's the same characteristics being displayed inside you. Though it's an imperfect image because the treasure's in earthen vessels, but there's still enough of a reflection of the kingdom of heaven in and through us that it'll awaken the souls of people, that people will say, wow, that's the kind of life that I want to live. Yeah, where do you get this from? You're a different kind of people. That's what we desire to be, friends. Whether we're in big buildings or not, whether they're big cars or not, those are all secondary things. The most important thing is we're manifesting these characteristics of the kingdom because everything else will take care of itself. That's why Beatitudes come into revival. Listen to what Brother Abraham says. As we come to a close, he says this. I didn't put the name of the message, it's just 53:12:12. He says, you get around where there's arguments. People have lost their meekness. Where there's arguments. You get into that type of atmosphere. You see, the characteristics we manifest and yield ourselves over to generate an atmosphere. We know it. An argumentative person's a difficult person to be around, is it not? There's an atmosphere around them. Brahma says there's certain people you like to be around. It's an atmosphere they create. But there's other people that are nice people, but you don't want to hang around them because of the atmosphere. They've got a contentious spirit. They've got a critical spirit. There's so many other things which are not compatible with these Beatitudes. And it's easy to get into that. Brahma says it's just our fallen human nature to be critical. He says, somebody else will be driving, you sit next to him. The first thing comes in your mind, why did he change gear like that? That's what he says. You'll be criticizing. That's just our fallen nature to criticize. But it's our born again, transformed nature to do the opposite. It's very easy to discourage people. It's very easy to correct people. But it's not that easy to encourage people.
That's
That takes an expression which is contrary to who you really are as a natural person. You know, it takes the power of transformation, the kingdom of heaven manifesting in and through your temperament for you to do these kind of things. And that builds people up and builds things up. And that's what we want. That's why revival, he says, if there's something in the church, someone who's disobedient, very ugly acting in the church, causing trouble, you'll never be able to have a revival as long as that kind of atmosphere is around. Take that personally. You can feel it sometimes inside your own life. You become critical. You can just feel it. It's better just don't say anything to anybody. Get away from people. Go and shut yourself in. Go and get yourself back in the presence of the King of the Kingdom. And go and get yourself in His Word and let the power of transformation help you. Go and get prayed up and get back in the Spirit so that you can express the potential that's inside of you once again. Don't give in to that. Or if you do, go and make it right. But in order for there to be revival in a church or revival in you and I individually, we've got to come back to the spirit of these Beatitudes. And that needs us to be broken up. That needs us to repent of our sins and our wrong attitudes and the wrong things that we've done. That needs us to come and yield and become humble before the Lord once again and allow the Holy Ghost that is in us to start expressing Himself in these real characteristics of mercy, characteristics of meekness, characteristics of purity in heart. And then you find you've created an atmosphere again. This is the atmosphere of the kingdom of heaven. And God can pour His blessing. God can pour His authority into that atmosphere. The dove can now move in that kind of atmosphere. Can you see? That's why the Beatitudes now, if someone like Jesus, He lived that life. That's why the dove could always work and move and manifest inside of His life. Because of the atmosphere that was created by this attitude and this willingness to give in, this willingness to be a lamb, this willingness not to claim His own rights, this willingness to become a real prisoner to the will of His Father. And we are called to be prisoners of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so the final thing, what is it to be blessed? When Jesus said, blessed are you. Blessedness, this world has no idea what blessedness is. Blessedness is independent of outward circumstances. Yeah. A person can be apparently blessed in this world and they're not blessed according to the kingdom. A person can have billions in the bank and not be blessed, because blessedness is a state and condition of the soul. That's what it is. Blessedness is when there's God's favor inside of your life. Blessedness is when the kingdom of heaven is real and being expressed inside of your life. That's the true condition of blessedness. Now it can unfold itself out to the outward, and it does. But the vast majority of the people in the Bible that were blessed weren't really rich. Some of them were. Yeah, some of the people in the Bible were. But like Job and that, you'd find some could remain in a blessed condition even when they were rich and had a lot of other pressures inside of their life. But many people lose the blessedness when they get too much, which they're not able to handle, or when they take on a new job with more responsibility and that, and it overloads them now, and they lose the blessedness that comes by having these characteristics expressing themselves in your life. It's easy to lose that. So blessedness, I like this final thing, to be true, to be pure, to be merciful, to be meek, is to have in your possession the seed germs of the harvest of blessedness. You have those characteristics inside it. You are going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed spiritually. You're going to be blessed materially. You're going to be blessed with the best friends you'll ever find in this world. You'll be blessed by the best person that you should ever marry. You're going to be blessed with the best children you should ever have. You know, once you have this kingdom expressed inside of your life and the atmosphere of the kingdom of heaven inside of your life, you are blessed, even if someone's persecuting you. Because you can be blessed and yet be persecuted, Jesus told. You can be blessed and yet be Job on an ash heap. He was still blessed. He was in the kingdom and he had the kingdom expressed inside of his life. Yeah. And that's what true blessedness is all about. So saints, in this age that we're living, of all these false scales and false balances and false ideas and And people say, you got to have this kind of a car and then you're in the kingdom of heaven, or you got to have this, sing this kind of worship and you're going to go in the rapture. We say away with all of those ideas. Let's get ourselves back to the simplicity of what Christ taught us. And the most important thing is to submit and yield and surrender ourselves to the kingdom of heaven, to allow the Holy Ghost to be real in our experience. That means that in order for his kingdom to come, your kingdom has to go. That needs repentance. That needs to be sorry. That needs for you to mourn over your condition. That means for you to realize, I'm poor in spirit. I can't do this myself. And then when you come and lay yourself at his feet and say, Lord, I want to glorify you. I don't want to live this kind of life anymore. I don't want to live my own life. I want your life to be lived in me. I want your will to be done. I want your kingdom to come inside of my life. Then you find now the Holy Ghost can come in and start to express himself once again inside of your life. And then you're blessed. It doesn't matter anything else that happens inside of your life. When you're in the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of heaven is being expressed inside of your life, you're the most blessed of all the peoples of the earth. Everything else is secondary, all according to the will of God. The prophet says he may commit you to suffering like Job. He may commit you to death like Paul. That's all his prerogative. It's all according to his purpose. But you are the blessed of the blessed of the earth. And that's why Jesus, on every single one of these Beatitudes, he says, blessed are they. That's the true mark and the true standard of blessedness. So we want to be the blessed ones, I'm sure, saints. Yes. So let's submit ourselves to the King of the kingdom. And let his kingdom be expressed in us. Let's stand. Let's just bow our heads, saints, as we come, as the sister comes to the piano. Thank you, sister. I just put it out to you. Where are you in relation to these things? Are we speaking another language to you when we speak of these things? When we speak about genuine meekness, purity. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Are you a genuine spiritual peacemaker? That what you desire, you're endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. You're wanting to keep the atmosphere right in your life so you can keep it right in your home or among your friends. So the atmosphere, there might be a unity, the unity of the Spirit among the children of God in his house, so that the kingdom of heaven can be expressed in a more real way. Because of that atmosphere, you're blessed. But maybe you're not in that condition. Maybe you're a troublemaker. Maybe you're arrogant. Maybe you're contentious all the time. Maybe you're right and everybody else is wrong. That's not the kingdom of heaven in the life of a person. That's your old nature. That's your old temperament. That's why he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's when he calls you to come to the foot of the cross and to come and to confess your sin and say, woe is me. I'm a man undone, for I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And the moment you come to the cross like that, then you will find now that seraphim come with a coal of fire. He touches your lips and takes your sins away. And now you are candidate in the kingdom of heaven now. And the voice comes and says, who shall we send and who will go for us? And you say, here am I, send me. And God now expresses his kingdom in and through your life. But the flesh is a stubborn old thing. Give it an opportunity. It's going to start to manifest itself again. You might have come to the stage, you're manifesting the flesh once again. You're yielding to your old weaknesses. You're yielding to your old tendencies. And you wanted to ask the Lord this evening, say, Lord, I just want to be pure in heart once again. Lord, I just want to be washed in the blood. Lord, I want your kingdom to be expressed once again inside of my life, Lord. I just want, Lord, your kingdom dominion to give me dominion over these weaknesses and these habits and these things, Lord, that don't glorify you inside of my life. Maybe that's your desire. Why not raise your hand to the Lord and say, Lord, help me, Father. But I'm sure every single one of us can say, this is our desire. The last thing, I want to be more like Jesus. More and more of Jesus, less and less of me. Lord, I want to die daily that I might grow from glory to glory. Lord, reflect yourself, reveal yourself to me once again that I might behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord, that I might be transformed, that I might be changed once again into the same image. Because Lord, I want to be like you. I don't want to be like me. I want to be like you. Father, as your people, you know the needs of each and every one of us. Lord, I pray for the people that are online as well. I pray that you'll minister to every heart and soul. Anybody that'll watch this down the way. Lord, we just want to be more like you. Lord, we're not in this world to, Lord, defend a church or to defend a religious group. Father, the very reason we are born is to reflect you to this dying world. And Father, you didn't send the message for us to have contention one with another about it, Lord, but you sent this message as the revelation of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we can reflect you in a greater way. And that is our desire in this place, that Father, we would desire to be the light of the world. We desire to be the salt of the earth. We desire that even this place would be a lighthouse, Lord, that Father, the places that we live, that you would help us, Lord. Father, Lord, to be a reflection of you to our neighbors. Father, Lord, to our children, to our colleagues, to them at college, to them at work, wherever we are, to our relatives, our family, and our friends. We just want to be a better reflection of you. So may you help us, Lord. May you minister to the needs of your people. May your blood, which will never lose its power, till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. May your blood wash every single one of us now from every guilty spot and stain. And Father, may your grace, may your kingdom, may your spirit come in, Lord, and take away the criticism, Lord, and take away, Lord, Father, Lord, the human element, Lord, because we want you to be expressed in and through us. May you bless your people richly upon this night, we pray. And continue to lead us and guide us, we ask. As we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Let's hand over to Brother James for a song there, brother.
Number 12. Can we try F maybe? Am I a soldier of the cross, a foe of the Lamb? In shall I fear to own his cause of blush, to speak his name? Oh yes, and when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown. Oh yes, we shall wear. Oh, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Oh, yes, we crown. We crown. We're bright and shining crown. Oh yes, and when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Oh yes, master. I be carried to the sky on flower, ribbons of feet. Oh, yeah, why have I stood to be in the pride and say, through bloody sea, and when the battle is, oh yeah, fish away from. We oh, wish away. Hallelujah, wish away from. Oh, and when the barley's oh, we shall cry in the new Jerusalem. Oh, my Lord, we cry. We cry. We bright and shining cry. Hallelujah, and when the battle is over, we shall cry in the new Jerusalem. Oh yes, there no foes for me to face, my side. Not shame the flood. Is it my will be friend to help me on to go? Oh yes, and when the battle is over, we shall win. Hallelujah, we shall win. Oh, hallelujah, we shall win. Oh, and when the battle is over, we shall win. Crowd. In the new Jerusalem, oh my Lord, we cry, oh yes, we bright and shining crown. Oh yes, and when the battle is over, we shall cry in the new Jerusalem. Oh yes, sure I must fight if I would reign in Christ. My courage, Lord, I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy will. Oh, yes, when the battle is over, we shall win. Oh, Lord, we shall win. Hallelujah, we shall win. Proud. Oh, yes, and when the battle is over, we shall win. Proud. In the new Jerusalem, oh Lord, we cry, we cry, oh Lord, we bright and shining cry, oh Lord, and when the battle is over, we shall cry in the new Jerusalem. Hallelujah, we cry. We cry, oh Lord, we bright and shining cry. Oh Lord, and when the battle is over, we shall wear crown in the new Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.